from Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, we take one of our regular drop-ins at UN headquarters in New York for a press conference by the spokesperson for the Secretary General of the United Nations, Stephane Dujarric. We bring you as much of the press conference from Monday as time will allow.
I wish it was a happy Monday, but no. We'll start off with a statement that we issued a bit earlier today on Syria. The Secretary General is gravely concerned over the military developments in northeast Syria, which have already reportedly resulted in many civilian casualties and the displacement of at least 160,000 civilians. He continues to urge for maximum restraint and stresses that any military operation must fully respect international law, including the UN Charter and international humanitarian law. The Secretary General calls for the immediate de-escalation and urges all parties to resolve their concerns through peaceful means. The Secretary General emphasizes that civilians not taking part in hostilities must be protected at all times. Likewise, civilian infrastructure must be protected in accordance with international humanitarian law. He recognizes in particular the vulnerabilities of internally displaced persons. He further stresses that sustained, unimpeded, and safe humanitarian access to civilians in need must be guaranteed, including through the cross-border modality, in order to allow the United Nations and its humanitarian partners to continue to carry out its critical work in northern Syria. He also notes with serious concern that the current military operations could lead to the unintended release of individuals associated with Daesh, with all the consequences this could entail. The Secretary General recalls Security Council Resolution 2254, which stresses that any solution to the Syrian crisis must reaffirm the sovereignty, independence, unity, and territorial integrity of Syria. In addition to the statement, our colleagues at the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs tell us that since 9 October, those on the move have been displaced by the violence from areas around Tal Abyad and Ras Al Ain. Most of the displaced are staying with relatives or host communities, but increasing numbers are arriving at collective shelters in the area. The latest fighting compounds an already dire humanitarian situation in northeast Syria. Of the 3 million women, children, and men in the northeast, 1.8 million were already in need of humanitarian aid, including over 910,000 in acute need. Close to 710,000 of those living in the area were already internally displaced. There are also heightened concerns for thousands of vulnerable displaced persons, including women and children, at various camps for internally displaced people, including Al Hol, which currently hosts over 68,000 people, 94% of whom are women and children. We're, of course, continuing with our contingency planning, and humanitarian workers are committed to stay, but we are concerned about their safety. Meanwhile, the World Food Program has so far provided immediate food assistance to more than 70,000 people fleeing towns in the area. WFP is deeply concerned about the safety of civilians caught in the violence and urges that vital supply routes must be kept open and safe for humanitarian deliveries. The food agency is providing families in shelters with ready-to-eat food that does not require cooking, while those staying with host families receive a regular food package. On the political front, Geir Pedersen, the special envoy for Syria, has met with the 28 EU foreign ministers in Luxembourg today. He said that he expressed deep alarm at the developments in northeast Syria and urged the concerned parties to refrain from actions that further imperil civilians, undermine sovereignty, and destabilize the fragile situation and endanger efforts on political track. Over the weekend, Mr. Pedersen consulted with the Syrian National Committee in Riyadh. He will head to Damascus very soon and stress that all work constructively to achieve the goals of the Constitutional Committee. And I have a senior personnel appointment to announce. The Secretary General has appointed Helen Meagher-Lalime of the United States as his special representative for Haiti and head of the UN Integrated Office in Haiti. As you know, the mandate of the mission is changing tomorrow. Ms. Lalime had been the head of the UN Mission for Justice and Support in Haiti, otherwise as Minu Joost. Her bio is online. In response to questions I had received on the situation in Guinea, I can tell you that the Secretary General is following with increasing concern the situation in Guinea, where demonstrations against a government proposal to review the current constitution have been called for today on October 14th. The Secretary General calls on all stakeholders to resort to inclusive political dialogue to resolve their differences. He reiterates that freedom of expression and peaceful assembly are fundamental rights and calls on security force to exercise maximum restraint and uphold relevant international human rights standards in responding to any demonstrations. He calls on all actors to take all necessary measures to prevent the current situation from escalating and undermining peace and stability in the country and the region. The special representative for the Secretary General for West Africa and the Sahel continues to monitor the situation in the country and remains in contact with key national stakeholders towards de-escalating tensions and the promotion of a peaceful environment ahead of the legislative elections and the 2020 presidential elections in the country. Turning to Mali, the UN peacekeeping mission in that country reports that on Saturday, hundreds of people gathered in the town of Sivare in the Mopti region and marched towards the mission's camp. Demonstrations quickly turned violent, with protesters throwing stones and chanting anti-UN slogans. They broke into several of the mission storage containers located in front of the camp and caused some material damage. Malian security forces and the UN police dispelled the crowds. In a statement issued over the weekend, the UN mission reiterated its support for freedom of expression and the right for peaceful demonstrators, but it strongly condemned the acts of vandalism. Today, the government reiterated its strong support to the UN and recalled the peacekeeping mission is in the country to support Malian security forces. As an example, they noted the support provided by the UN following the Bulakesi attacks against the Malian army 2 weeks ago. And the Secretary General strongly condemned the attack on a mosque that took place in Burkina Faso during Friday prayers. He expressed his deep condolences to the families of the deceased and the people and government of Burkina. And that full statement was issued over the weekend. We also issued a statement over the weekend strongly condemning the mortar attacks on October 13th against the international airport in Mogadishu that hit the compound of the UN and the African Union mission. The Secretary General reiterates the strong support to all UN colleagues in Mogadishu in Somalia and reaffirms that the UN remains determined to support the federal government of Somalia and all Somalis in their pursuit of peace and stability. And also over the weekend, we welcomed the announcement of the start of the dialogue process between the government of Ecuador and indigenous organizations facilitated by the Episcopal Conference and the United Nations country team. The Secretary General calls on all concerned to commit to inclusive and meaningful talks to work in good faith towards a peaceful solution to the pressing challenges facing the country. The Secretary General also called on all actors to reduce tensions, refrain from acts of violence, and exercise restraint. Also, over the weekend, it was a busy weekend, we issued a statement from the Secretary General on Japan in which he said he was saddened by the reported loss of life and extensive destruction caused by the typhoon that hit over the weekend. He extended his deep condolences to the families of the victims and the government and people of Japan. The UN continues to monitor the situation on the ground and stands ready to assist if requested. The UN mission in Afghanistan urged Afghan authorities to safeguard and complete the ongoing election process. In a statement issued, the mission called that this presidential elections was the first completely run by Afghan authorities since 2001 and is an important milestone in the country's transition to self-reliance. The mission also stressed that all Afghans involved in the process must demonstrate their commitment to safeguard and complete the election and protect the integrity of the process, especially with regard to tabulating and announcing the results. And in the first, for the first time in 9 months, for the first 9 months of the year, over 8,000 refugees and migrants have arrived in Europe via the Mediterranean. More than a quarter of them were children, many traveling without their parents. In a new report titled Desperate Journeys, the UN Refugee Agency recognized positive steps taken across Europe to improve the protection of refugees and migrants. But the agency also calls on European states to step up their efforts to protect child refugees and migrants through measures such as ending the use of immigration detention for children, appointing trained guards as social workers, and ensuring that refugee and migrant children receive an election. Lastly, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, there will be a press conference here featuring Jens Mudvig, the chair of the Committee Against Torture, also Malcolm Evans, the chair of the Subcommittee on Prevention of Torture, and Niles Meltzer, the special rapporteur on torture and other cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment.
No payment?
Ipsalem. No full payments that I can report, but I understand a few partial payments have arrived, but I'm trying to get some numbers for you. Yes, madame.
Stefan, on Syria. So the Arab League met on the weekend, and they had, and the Iraqi foreign minister, Mohammed Ali Hakim, who is the president of the current Arab League session, condemned the Turkish offensive. Also, the ministers issued a statement calling on the UN Security Council to take necessary measures to stop the Turkish aggression and for the withdrawal of Syrian from Syrian territory immediately. What is the position of the Secretary General on this statement? Does he agree? And if not, why?
Sure. I mean, it's not for the Secretary General to comment on statements by other organizations. Our position, I think, has been made as clear as possible in the statement we just issued, including for the Secretary General, just stressing the need that any military operation must fully respect international law, including the UN Charter and international humanitarian law. We have been in touch with Turkish authorities at different levels, especially Mr. Pedersen, who has been in very frequent contact with his Turkish counterparts. And the message of restraint is one that has been passed on.
Does he see it as an aggression, or does he condemn the Turkish?
Look, for us, the important, as we said in a statement, it's the territorial integrity of Syria, and that any military operations, and we've seen quite a few in Syria over the past more than 8 years. The Syrian people have been clearly suffering from those. That any military operation must fully respect international law, including the Charter. Yes, sir.
So my question, Steph, is about your reference to the UN Charter in the context of this military operation. The UN Charter Article 2 is very clear that the organization is based on the principle of the sovereign equality of all member states. Article 2.4, all members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or the use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. All members shall settle their international disputes by peaceful means. Clearly, Turkey is in violation of the UN Charter. Why then can the UN Secretary General not call on Turkey to stop its actions?
I think I would again, I appreciate the reading of the Charter. But again, I would refer you to what I've said, is that we have, in light of this current military operation, it bears reminding that any military operation going on needs to respect the Charter and international humanitarian law.
But surely the military operation in itself is a violation of the Charter. Why
I will leave. I will leave that analysis to you. Yes, James.
First question to follow up on your talk about contacts between the UN and Turkey. This has been going on for some days now. Mm-hmm. Has the Secretary General picked up the phone and spoken directly to President Erdogan?
As I said, I'm not aware of any direct phone calls. Contacts have been had at various levels. I'm not aware of any direct contacts.
Could check for us.
Yep.
And if I could follow up on another aspect of this, which is the ISIL prisoners and mm-hmm. families, because we've asked so many questions over many, many months here about mm-hmm. the custody arrangements for yep. them. Isn't it time now for the international community to come together and try and arrange proper custody for them? And surely someone needs to take a leadership role here. One suggests perhaps the Secretary General might be the right person to do that.
This is an issue that we have expressed our concerns about for many months. We have briefed the Security Council on it, and there are structures that need to be respected in terms of human rights, especially in terms of the children, and we're continuing to highlight those to the Security Council.
One other follow-up on that. You do have UNCTAD and Karim Khan, which I know its main role is in Iraq, yes, in accountability for ISIL's crimes.
I said UNCTAD. The other UNCTAD. Yeah, okay,
I think he has a wider role for accountability to ISIL's crimes. Has he had any involvement with regard to...
Very good question. I will double-check for you on that.
Maliki Brown, New York Times. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we published an investigation that showed that the Russian Air Force mm-hmm. bombed 4 healthcare facilities, in fact, hospitals that are on the UN's no-strike list. What's your response to that?
Well, we've seen the report. As you know, there is a board of inquiry that was established by the Secretary General to look into the destruction of UN-funded or UN-supported health facilities. I know the board of inquiry has seen the report from the New York Times. Their work is ongoing. They're right now going through kind of a desk review, and they plan to go to the region fairly soon.
The board of inquiry doesn't intend to assign blame or name perpetrators. Why is that?
The Board of Inquiry has a very specific terms of references. They will report to the Secretary General, and then we'll take it from there.
But in light of the evidence that we've laid on the table, how can they not go there with assigning blame?
Look, they have it is a fact-finding mission. It is not a legal investigation. It follows a framework of traditional UN boards of inquiries that are under the specific authority of the Secretary General. Any kind of legal, more criminal inquiry would require a different mandate, or did require a mandate from the Security Council.
The Secretary General has indicated that he will not make the report public. And it's up to it's his discretion to make part of it or all of it public. How can there be any accountability?
I have nothing to add to what I previously said on that at this point. Signora.
Steph, we understand that the dialogue ended up yesterday with the ending of the strike by the indigenous communities in Ecuador, mm-hmm. And they will have meetings today with the groups that have to do with the labor unions. What is the hope from this point on after the decree, the 883, was derogated? And then what is the concerns that the office has in Ecuador, because the indigenous groups said that they had serious concerns about the use of force and violations mm-hmm. of human rights against some of the protesters in Ecuador. Can you give us a little sense?
Well, I mean, I think both ourselves and the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights have expressed our concern on the use of force and then called for restraint. Our colleagues in the country team are working with the Episcopal Conference, trying to ensure that any issues that arise and concerns that arise are addressed and addressed fully through political and peaceful means.
For how long do you think that the process could last? Because it started yesterday and they were successful in about 4 or 5 hours. They were able to get to an agreement, establish the process of peace. How many days could it work out, Mr. Anon?
I can't give you an end date. We obviously hope these things are resolved quickly. Yes, sir. And then Stefano.
Thank you, Steph. Since you answered to this question and commented on behalf of the Secretary General Nobel Peace Prize, on the Nobel Committee as well, since there is also a topic very close to the heart of the Secretary General, hate speech. Austrian writer Peter Handke was awarded with the Nobel Prize for literature. He is characterized as a genocide denier in Balkans, in Bosnia. What is the comment of the Secretary General?
Look, I've seen the controversy around that. I frankly am not familiar enough with the writer to offer comment, and I have not had a chance to speak directly to the Secretary General on that issue.
Would you look at it, since it's a very serious issue regarding Srebrenica? You issued a report on Srebrenica in 1999, and it's a part of institutional memory.
I'm aware, but I don't know enough about the writer personally to comment off the top of my head.
Would you
look? I will always look. Signore.
Thank you, Stefan. As a follow-up on Syria, I think the question to before is that we're noticing the Secretary General reaction wasn't strong enough. And I give you an example. When it was a situation, it's not exactly the same, but it was a situation in Burma where the Secretary General, when he thought the population was really, really in danger, he reacted, he sent a message to the Security Council, the Security Council acted. There was a lot of, it was a good reaction, and the Secretary General just started his mandate. This time, we looking at that the Secretary General is being more prudent. And so the Charter of the United States is also talking about self-determination of people. There are many ways for the Secretary General to address this issue. And we see already, for example, just yesterday.
Caro professore.
No,
I'm interested in what you're saying, but I would love
moment,
a question.
No, this moment there are people dying. And I think, so the question is, because it's not anymore, it is not doubt that the people are being bombed, civilians, what is exactly the reaction of the Secretary General and also on, the responsibility to protect? This is a phrase that we heard a lot at the United Nations. What does he think?
The Secretary General, as I've said and I've tried to express, is following this extremely closely. Messages are being passed on to the Turkish authorities. It is also worth remembering that there is a political process that needs to go on, right? We had achieved some progress on the Constitutional Committee. We need to secure that progress. We need to continue with that because ultimately the best solution for the people of Syria will be a political one. And that's exactly what Mr. Pedersen is doing.
Follow up. It's the very political process that is being undermined by this action. The very process that the UN is leading is being undermined by this military offensive in northeast Syria, and there's an inability from the UN to ask them to stop. It beggars belief.
I think our statement is clear on that, and I think the statement reflects what you've just said. Edie.
Going back to all of the camps, what exactly, if any, is the UN presence or role in Al-Hol and the other camps, not for the fighters, but for supporters, family members, children?
As far as I know, and I will double check, that we do not have a presence. We're not able to have a presence in Al-Hol, but I will check with you very quickly after the briefing.
Follow up. Two questions. Is the Secretary General reluctant to condemn the Turkish invasion because he didn't do so in other, when the Americans, Russians, etc. did it? Because he also back then had a similar or different comments, and now he's not able to do this because he didn't do it in the past in this case?
The Secretary General's aim is to do whatever he can and whatever he needs to do, whether himself or Mr. Pedersen and others, to save a political process and to find a political solution. That's his focus. And sometimes it means being criticized for not speaking out loud enough, but that is his focus.
On aid, you said that many of the families who were forced to leave their houses now with relatives. Do they get aid too, or are you able to reach
them? Yeah, I mean, the people
or?
We have access, if you're staying, I think as we said, if you're staying with relatives, you do get aid. I mean, we're trying to reach people who need it, whether they're staying in makeshift camps or whether they're staying with relatives. If either we have access to it or we have access to them through our Syrian partners.
And the number you gave is 160.
Yeah, we'll circulate all the numbers after.
How do you? I mean, you said, like, I think last week that you don't have a present in northern Syria, and you have other organizations.
Well, these are obviously estimates that we work through. Through our partners. We have a small presence in the very northeast of Syria, but a lot of these are estimates or numbers we get through our partners. Maria.
Thank you, Steph. Follow up on the inquiry committee. Mm. So does it have a clear time mandate if now they began its work on 30th of September. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, they're only going to Syria. And
I didn't say 2 weeks.
You said they are going.
I said soon.
Yeah,
but I didn't say. I didn't.
It seems
calendar,
they're not. Yeah, they're not in a hurry.
Well, I mean, they are. You know, they are trying to work as quickly as possible, but as thoroughly as possible as well.
No, the short question
is when
we can expect the results of this.
When any investigation starts, I don't think anyone wants to say exactly when it will end, but they are working as thoroughly and expeditiously as possible.
And the second question is if they're going to take into account the data which was provided to journalists by Russian mission, and Russian mission claimed they will give it to UN as well, the data about miscommunication on the location.
I think they will take
hospitals
into account whatever information and any information that is given to them, whether from public sources or from governments. That's their job. Yes, sir.
Thanks. Is the UN's current budget crisis impeding your ability at all to provide aid to this region?
No, not at this time, because there are restraints in terms of the financing of the humanitarian appeal, but that's separate from shutting down the escalators. Yeah. Senor.
Gracias. Stefan, probably I missed, I apologize, but did Secretary General reacted on or commented what President Erdogan said, that he will practically open the gates of Turkey and send 3.6, as he said, million of refugees to Europe, and obviously that would pass through Balkans, etc.?
No, there's no particular comment on that. Stefano?
Is he concerned about the destiny of 3.6 million people?
Listen, of course he's concerned about the state of refugees. What is clear is that for us, any movement of refugees needs to be done in a way that is voluntary, that is safe, and that is done in dignity. Stefano.
Day in America, he's Columbus Day or Indigenous Day?
I'm in enough trouble on many issues. I have no. I just give me a break. It's only Monday, please, Stefano. By no means do I not say that you have a valid question. I just want to play my joker and take a pass for this briefing. Yes, ma'am. I should have eaten the bottle. I'm not saying it's not. Definitely not saying it's not important. There's some things I just don't want to step into.
On Syria, also.
Yes.
After all this killing and civilians who are being killed by Turkish regime, when Secretary General may call Syria directly to stop its invasion?
As I said, the messages that we're expressing publicly have also been passed in privately to the Turkish authorities. Lillian.
Thanks, Stefan.
Can you give us any update at all
about the cash flow crisis? I know you said there may have been some partial payments. Any update while I have you record it?
I didn't know you were recording. Somebody should have told me. As I said, I checked with the comptroller this morning. He did mention there were some partial payments coming in, but we're still trying to run through some of the numbers. So hopefully we'll have an update tomorrow. Okay. And Maria, you know, on the Board of Inquiry, I just relooked some of my notes from then. That the this there is hope that the work will be done in 3 months, but that's not final. But that was the hope that we expressed.
And that's all the news we have for you right now for Community Public Radio. I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.